Jared, thanks for joining us on the show. And tell us a little bit about what these tariffs are and the reaction that we're getting to them.
Well, the tariffs that the United States is imposing are these steel and aluminum tariffs that the president laid out several months ago. But there had been exemptions for some countries that included Mexico and Canada. As the United States, the Trump administration, tries to renegotiate NAFTA, it also exempted Europe, again, because the Trump administration is trying to renegotiate a trade deal. It also exempted and continues to exempt some South American countries who, in exchange for not having the tariffs hit them, have set sort of new caps at how much aluminum and steel they would import into the United States. So that's what it's about. And remember, a tariff is essentially a tax at the point of entry. So these things come into the country, and the shipper is taxed for bringing them into the United States. It's supposed to give the United States manufacturers an advantage. It evens the price in some capacity, but it also, of course, usually comes with retaliation when you put tariffs on things that haven't previously had tariffs on them. And that's what you're hearing now from Mexico, from Europe, from Canada. Mexico has already said they're going to impose tariffs on a lot of U.S. agriculture imports. Canada said that they're going to match these tariffs dollar for dollar. They're also challenging the legality of the tariffs. They say it violates the current NAFTA agreement. The European Union also says that it's going to lay out new tariffs. What all of that means, bottom line, is things are more expensive for consumers, because obviously if, you know, the manufacturer is paying a premium to put something in a country, you're going to increase the price of that product.
So is there a lot of confidence that this is going to be the way it is, or is it possible that this is another thing that Trump is throwing out there, and then we find out 24, 48 hours later, well, with these exceptions, is this still kind of in the moldable phase?
Well, I mean, not these tariffs. They went into effect at midnight, so we'll see how long they last. Certainly they could be rescinded, but when Wilbur Ross, the Commerce Secretary, announced them yesterday, he said that they were effective at midnight, so they are in effect right now. Now, there is obviously discussion about, is this sort of a negotiation tactic because NAFTA negotiations are going longer than the Trump administration had hoped they would, because not a lot of progress has been made with the European negotiations. Is this just a negotiation tactic that now there's something that they can remove, a barrier they can remove to try and make these negotiations go further? It's now a concession, right? Now a tariff becomes, getting rid of it becomes a concession in a negotiation. Perhaps that's part of it. I will say that, you know, across the political spectrum, there's been some concern about this. Some Republicans have not liked the move of tariff. They say that it's bad for U.S. consumers, that targeting steel from Canada and Europe is wrong, that the reason that U.S. steel can't compete is not because of these countries, but because of a flooding of the market from China, that's really the source of the problem. Obviously, a lot of U.S. business interests that generally are favorable to Republican policies haven't been real favorable to the tariff thing. But that being said, there have been a lot of Democrats, there have been a lot of lawmakers in the Midwest who have said that there has to be something to give manufacturers an advantage once again, or at least a level playing field once again. And that's one of the things with tariffs, is sometimes in these economic policies the president has put out, it's not always an issue of politics or partisanship so much as geography and where, you know, constituencies are from. Obviously, if you represent a big agriculture sector and there's going to be new tariffs added on agriculture products, you're probably not going to like that very much, because that's going to increase the price of business for farmers, for ranchers, for these agriculture workers.
And some people are saying that this is also a matter of national security. Is that tied into what you were just explaining, or is that separate as well?
Well, that's the authority that the president, that the administration is using for the tariffs. That's why they said that it's not violate any sort of existing trade law, right? Because the need for a robust steel and aluminum industry to have that kind of supply domestically is of national security. That's the justification that the administration's using. Now, obviously, that's ruffled some feathers, particularly in Canada, because, you know, Canadians are now saying, Canada is not a national security threat to the United States. That they have stood shoulder to shoulder with American troops in nearly every conflict that, the United States has been involved in. That's the point that the Canadians are making, that sort of added to the insult from their perspective, right, is that not only is it a tariff, but now you're saying it's a national security issue.
Yeah, absolutely. Jared Halperin, thank you for your insight on this issue, and it is an important one in the news cycles of the day. Sometimes these types of conversations get buried, so we appreciate you bringing some insight to them for us today.
Sure thing.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye, Jared. I think that the tariffs is another one of those scenarios where I look at it and I kind of squint my eyes and I'm trying to see what the president is doing. But there is a lot of that. Do you trust the president? Do you trust him to know what he's doing? To Tony's comment before we went to Jared Halperin, you know, was this whole process with North Korea when Trump was backing out, when he started talking about it in the first place, did Trump know what he was doing? And the way it appears to me is that the media, especially the media that hates the president, is relying on judging every pitch that the president takes. And the president knows that if your team strikes out, if you go three up, three down in the second inning, there's seven or more innings left to play. And you can have a bad inning, but that doesn't mean that the game is over. And if you go up the next time and strike out the side, that doesn't mean you won yet. It's not until the game is over and you look at the scoreboard and you can call scoreboard and say, hey, we won. That second inning was terrible. But look at the seventh and eighth. Look at last night, the Cardinals. I mean, that's really the way I see this president doing business as the administrator of the land. It's this idea of being a deal maker and knowing that you're going to do something in the second inning, the fourth inning, the sixth inning that may pay off. It may not pay off. And you're going to make an attempt to make something happen and know that you are going to continue to adjust the game as it continues to go on. I think that President Trump is managing these deals, especially the ones when it comes to North Korea and renegotiating our trade deals with other countries. I really believe that he is looking at winning the game, not the inning. Nobody cares how many innings you've won. Nobody ever that's never even been talked about before. You can be in an inning. You can have the bases loaded against you, and you can still get three outs and nobody scores. That's the way this presidency seems to be going. He is negotiating himself through all nine innings or more. Maybe it's a 10th inning, an 11th inning, a 12th inning, whatever it might be. But the president is looking at the long game. And the media is relying. The president could win the game in the bottom of the ninth with a walk-off home run, and the left-wing media would be like, but that strikeout in the second inning, did you see that? That was so terrible. That is the worst at bat that he has ever had. And I just can't believe that we are paying that player to hit when he struck out in the second. Oh, but he walked off in the ninth. That's the way this is going. So it is important for us to watch this inning by inning, to the point where we wait and see what happens at the end. Everybody Monday morning quarterbacks, everybody looks back on what has happened and what has unfolded and what the result is or the implication is once the game is over. But we are still in the game. So I really believe that when you watch this president do what he does, I don't think he's not going to win every single game. There are going to be times where this goes wrong. But if it feels like he had a loss in one day, it doesn't necessarily mean that the game in and of itself is a loss for everybody. What are you going to say?
We are 1 hour and 5 minutes into the meeting with the North Korean.
And no information?
Still nothing.
No information.
But
yeah.
But that meeting in the Oval Office is now 1 hour and 5 minutes.
I think that's a good sign. I would say that a very quick meeting would probably not be, would not be advantageous. Your phone calls when we come back. 314-241-9797. That's 314-241-9797. What do you think? You think this president, does he know what he's doing? When he does something and everyone goes, oh, we were so close to peace with North Korea and he just backed out or whatever it might be. Think he knows what he's doing? Also, coming up a little bit later in this hour, Tim Jones is going to join us. And I'm real excited to talk to him about Mike Parson and Eric Greitens and the transfer of power taking place today. Missouri, we're about to get a new governor. Who is he? What's he about? What does Tim Jones think about him? We're going to talk about that upcoming soon here in the 1 o'clock hour as well. Your phone calls at Annie Fry Show on Twitter. We'll be right back.